This morning we're going to look at Genesis 22, 1 to 14, which is a story about how God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son. But before we look at the story, we need to briefly consider the context leading up to it. In Genesis 12, God promised Abraham that he would make him into a great nation, and that all nations would be blessed through him. Abraham was 75 when God made this promise to him. The only problem was, Abraham was childless. His wife Sarah was barren, so they couldn't have children. But God kept promising that they would indeed have a son. 25 years later, when Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, well and truly past the age of childbearing, she gave birth to a son, Isaac. His birth was nothing short of a miracle. He was born because of God's promise. So the great promise God made to Abraham 25 years earlier was beginning to be fulfilled. And now we come to Genesis 22, and it begins with God testing Abraham. Let's look at verses 1 and 2. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you." What is going on here? God had been promising Abraham a son for a very long time. And finally, he gives him a son, 25 years after the promise was first made. But now God turns around and tells Abraham to kill his son and burn his body on an altar as a sacrifice to him. What would be going through Abraham's mind? We know from the rest of the Old Testament that God is abhorred by child sacrifice. It's an abomination to him. But here, God is commanding this very thing. It would have been very easy for Abraham to question God. It would have been very easy for him to tell God that this must be some kind of mistake. It doesn't make any sense. But instead, incredibly, Abraham trusts God, even though I'm sure he's feeling very confused and disillusioned. You see, we know it's a test because we're told that in the first verse. But Abraham doesn't know this. He doesn't have this context in which to make sense of what's going on. It's just happening. And he has no idea why. But he chooses to trust God. Let's look at verses 3 to 5. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey, while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Abraham travels 3 days to get to where God told him to go. And I'm sure he did lots of thinking and praying along the way. We can't know for sure, but I reckon it was sometime during this 3 day journey he realized that even though God had told him to kill his only son, God was going to raise him back to life again. Because God promised him it would be through Isaac that all nations would be blessed. So in order for God to keep his promise, Abraham concluded that God must be going to raise Isaac from the dead. Now, there's a passage in Hebrews that tells us this is exactly what Abraham was thinking. Let's look at Hebrews 11:17 to 19. "By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Even though on the surface it seemed like God was going to break his promise, Abraham knew this couldn't be true, and so worked out that God was going to raise Isaac from the dead. Abraham's faith gives us a really good example of what faith is. He trusts God no matter what. And his faith results in obedience. Trusting God and obeying God go together. Let's look at verses 6 to 8. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. And he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. Now, we don't know exactly how old Isaac is, but we do know he's old enough to carry wood. And he's also old enough to work out there's a key ingredient missing from their plan to offer a sacrifice to God. So he asks his dad where the lamb is, to which Abraham responds with incredible faith, "God himself will provide the lamb." Now, unless Abraham is a robot, this must have been an extremely difficult question to answer. He answered it with faith, but he knew that his son was the lamb. He knew that very soon he was going to have to kill his own son and burn his dead body on an altar. But he fights through the mental and emotional turmoil that I'm confident he was feeling, and he continues to trust God and press on with the plan. Let's look at verses 9 to 12. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son, Isaac, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he said, he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Oh, the relief Abraham must have felt. He was seconds away from killing his only son. And it's at this point Abraham gains our perspective. It was a test. God was testing his faith. And Abraham passing the test proved that his faith is genuine. He trusts in God no matter what. He loves God more than anything else, even his only son. Now, Abraham's words to Isaac in verse 8 turn out to be literally true. God does provide a lamb. Let's look at verses 13 and 14. Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. God provided a lamb as a substitute for Isaac, so Abraham could sacrifice the lamb instead of his only son. Now, this story clearly foreshadows the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. And many believe that Mount Moriah, where God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son, is the same place God sacrificed his only son 2,000 years later. Except this time, there was no lamb to be a substitute for Jesus. Jesus was the lamb. He was the substitute, our substitute. He died in our place. He made atonement for our sins. He took the punishment we deserve. Let's look at a few verses that talk about how Jesus is the Lamb. John 1:29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." 1 Corinthians 5:7, "Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." 1 Peter 1:18 and 19, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." And Revelation 5:12 and 13, "In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise.' Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, 'To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.'" Jesus is the Lamb who was sacrificed to redeem sinners, to redeem us. God spared Abraham's only son, but he didn't spare his only son. And I'm so thankful he didn't, because if he did, there'd be no hope for us. We'd be lost forever, suffering the consequences our sins deserve. But God provided a lamb for us, a lamb who was perfect. Jesus was the only one qualified to die for the sins of others, because he himself was sinless. Oh, how wonderful is God's plan of redemption. And I hope we're all overwhelmed that God would show mercy to sinners like us and sacrifice his only son so our sins could be washed away by the blood of the Lamb. We're now going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The Lamb of God, on the night before he was slain, gave us this supper as a way for us to remember his sacrifice. The bread is a symbol of his body that he gave for us. The juice is a symbol of his blood that he shed for us, so we could be redeemed, so we could have all our sins forgiven, washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Now, this participation in the Lord's Supper is for all those who put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So if there's anyone here this morning who hasn't put their trust in Jesus to save them, please don't take the bread and juice, but please do consider your great need to have your sins washed away by putting your trust in Jesus. And if you'd like to know more about this, I'd be more than happy for you to come and talk to me and ask me any questions you might have. The bread and juice will be handed out shortly, and while that's happening, let's think about how God didn't spare his only son, but sent him into this world to be the sacrifice for our sins, to be the Lamb of God who takes away our sins. Let's think about how our Lord Jesus willingly suffered and died for us so we could be redeemed, so we could experience the joy of having our sins forgiven, washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Please hold on to the bread and juice so we can eat and drink together. Let me read Paul's words from 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Brothers and sisters, as we eat and drink together, we remember our Lord Jesus Christ. We remember the Lamb who was slain for us. He gave his body and he shed his blood to wash away our sins. Let's eat and drink together with joy and thankfulness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the passage we've been able to look at this morning. A powerful passage, a very emotionally moving passage in many ways. A passage that has even troubled many people. But we can see that it didn't trouble Abraham in the sense of his faith didn't waver in you. May we have Abraham's response to what happened to him and his son. The stories about him, the very one it happened to. Trusted you. With a situation that we couldn't even imagine having to go through. And yet we see you pass the test by your grace. And his faith was rewarded. Because he got to see that it was a test. And his son lived. He didn't die. And that you provided a lamb instead. And you have provided a lamb for us. Your only son. He's the lamb who was slain for us to take away our sins. Father, thank you that you didn't spare your only son, but that you sacrificed him on that cross so that he could bear our sins, bear our guilt, our shame, our judgment, and that now we have forgiveness. We have eternal life We have a beautiful relationship with you now that will go on forever. Father, it's so good to know you. It's so good to be here this morning to worship you together as brothers and sisters. Father, thank you that we've been able to celebrate the Lord's Supper together, to remember our Lord Jesus' death for us in this very particular way, to have these symbols of his death, to help us remember him. And Father, may we continue to trust you no matter what's happening in our lives, to trust you because you are trustworthy, that you did not withhold your only Son from us, but showed your love by sending him to die for us. So, Father, help us to continue trusting in you and to live for you each day, Father. We pray these things through our Lord Jesus. Amen.